It. So we're on track. Praise the Lord. But let's pray again, you guys. Heavenly Father, we come again into your presence and we thank you for this life that we have to live for you. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us all things, great things, wonderful things, but you have also given us this thing called the Word, your Word to us and for us. And Father, I just pray that our eyes would be open today, that we would see, just see and know things that have just been hidden or forgotten that would help us in this life you've called us to live so victoriously. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to start a new series called Eternity. Pastor D, where were you when you thought of that one? I've been in a lot of prayer about eternity. Maybe because this year I turned 66, but really it has nothing to do with that. But I really believe eternity is God desires so much for us as believers to understand eternity. And when you really understand eternity, it'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you get out of bed in the morning. So I want us to just to have our eyes open to what eternity is about. So if the guys can put up on the screen, I'm going to tell a story about this guy. His name is Horatio Spafford, and he lived in the late 1800s. That's pretty good. Okay, thank you. He was a businessman in Chicago, and he had five children, one boy, four girls. And in 1870, his only son, at the age of four, died suddenly from scarlet fever. And then the next year, the Great Chicago Fire just wiped out the city of Chicago. Hundreds of people died, and hundreds and thousands of people were homeless. And it really did a havoc on his business. So he's probably got a little grief going on. Anybody have a little grief going on sometimes in your life? Well, those are some big things. You know, you lose a child and your business just looks like it just, aka, went up in smoke, okay? So I want to talk a little bit more about him, because then a couple years later, he's actually, his business is up and running, and he decides to take his family on holiday. That's what they say in Europe. But he's going to take his family on holiday, and he has four daughters and his wife, and they're ready to get on this, I'm going to call it an ocean liner, to go across the Atlantic to Europe. And the day before, some of you will laugh, he goes, "Honey, I can't go, but I'll meet up with you. You know, I got one more phone call. I got one more thing to do at work." So he sends his family on ahead. Okay, and he says, "As soon as I wrap this business thing up, I will be on the next ship out of here." All you wives, poke your husband. Say, "Yeah, heard that one." So his wife and his four daughters get on this ocean liner, and they're 3 days in their journey across the Atlantic, and their ship is hit by another ship. And their ship is sunk. His family's ship is sunk. There's a few survivors, and only his wife, survived. His four daughters drowned. I know. I just want to cry when I think about that. It's really hard for me to get through this story, okay? Now, she ends up by being rescued with a few survivors, and she's taken to South Wales, where she immediately contacts her husband through telegraph. You know, "Honey, I'm saved and alone." And she gives him the details. So what does he do? He gets the next ship across the Atlantic. And while he's on the Atlantic on this ship, on the third day, the captain of the ship summons him up to the bridge. I guess that's what you call it. And he's got all these maps laid out. And he said, "See this spot right here on the map? That is where we are right now, where the ship sank. Where your daughter sank." I am just like so good with this, I tell you what. So there's a couple of versions of this Horatio. Some of them say that is when he went down into his cabin and he wrote a very famous hymn. "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." So I want to talk about him because I really believe he had a belief in eternity. if he could write that. All right, he understood an eternity, and he also understood how this eternity could help him through tremendous grief. How many of you would say, listen, I'd be a puddle on the floor, and you're not moving me, right? So, but he goes down, and he's a businessman. I love that. He's a businessman. He goes and he writes this. So we're going to go over this, and I'm going to read parts of the song. I'm not singing it for you, by the way. So, but I also want to say this. So in the midst of his grief, I really believe God helped him write this song. And it not only helped him and his wife, but it has helped billions of people for years. If you know this hymn, okay? So we're going to look at this hymn a little bit. Here we go. They're going to pop parts of it up. The first part starts, when peace like a river attends my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot that has taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. How many of you know that, right? So that's sort of how the song begins, but I want to look at this first part. It says, when peace like a river attends my way. When peace, so what he's saying is, you know, when this thing happens in your life, when you have things happen in your life, when life is just blown apart and just horrific, there's a peace that God will give you that you'll walk, be able to walk this through. How many have had peace in just storms? Just, you know it was the peace of God. And that's all he's saying. And listen, his wife and he are grieving. And yet he says there's a peace that God gives us. And that's, I really want you to all understand that, okay? The second line says, when sorrow like sea billows and rolls, it's sort of like when ocean. So just think about it, oceans. Those are the ocean waves that took his children, right? Those are those ocean waves that took his children. And he's making this bold statement. I have hope to see them. I have hope that I will see them someday. That's pretty bold, right? Then he goes on to say, let that blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And then he says, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And you know what he's doing? He's reminding himself and he's reminding us that when we accept Jesus into our life to be our Lord and Savior, you know, we are going to live on and we will see those people if they've asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of life. We'll see them. And he's just reminding himself that, okay? Anybody ever have to remind yourself a few good things, right? Aside from post-it notes, there's some mornings I have to remind myself all the things that God has done, right? So he's reminding himself. Now listen how it closes. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. And I'm like, what? No, no, listen. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, all my soul. And then he continues on with the song, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. So you can Google him and go look up his biography. So as I did that and I was reading the words to this song, I thought, this man had hope. He understood eternity. And you know what? He got up the next day. And so did his wife. You should read her little snippets of her story. They did that because they had hope in eternity. So I want to talk about eternity, all right? Now, I want to back up. I said this once, and dear Pastor Sherry corrected me, but I want to say it again. Do not minimize their grief. It's not one of those things you pack up one day, put in a box down at the shed, and it's done and over with. It's a process, this grief, okay? But we have a hope, so it makes it easier in this process. So they had tremendous grief. I know they did, okay? But at the same time, in the midst of this grief, God was ministering his peace. He's ministering his peace to them, okay? And that's what God wants to do to all of us, but we first have to understand this thing called eternity. Point to the neighbor and say, you got to get eternity. You got to get this eternity, all right? And you know, a dear friend of mine went home to be with the Lord on this Valentine's Day. Pastor, he's not a pastor, Denny Bender. Does anybody know? Yep. And so I was really thinking about eternity. And a couple years ago, I did the funeral for his wife, too. And I remember because she was a believer and he's a believer. And this is what I say when I do funerals. I like doing funerals for believers because I go, hey, listen, you will see them again. This relationship isn't ended. And I have a pastor friend. He says, this relationship's really on pause. You ever hit the pause button on the TV? Okay. It's just on pause for a while. Okay. Isn't that good? We're on pause. All righty. But I think we really have to look at this eternity. And this is just a nice little furly part I'm going to give you. Because I'm going to give you a real good boost towards the end here. Because when we understand eternity, we will live life. And this has been a real checkup on my life too. We will live life a whole different way. So here's my main idea that I want you to understand more clearly. And some of you are like, I know that, Pastor D. But no. Really clearly that it gets stuck in your gut. Okay? So here, if you're taking notes, write this down. Here's our main idea. Humans are living in a temporary body. This thing's temporary, okay? Waiting to go to eternal home. Humans are living in a temporary body waiting to go to an eternal home. Now, I didn't say Christians on purpose. I said humans. Point to your neighbor, you say, you're a human. You're a human being, okay? And all human beings are eternal, guys. We're eternal. That means we're going to live forever. Everybody say, live forever. Yeah, okay. Now, the big question is, where will you live forever, okay? Now, sometimes we read in our Bible, you guys always read in your Bible all the time, but you've probably read where Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they died spiritually. And sometimes you can think, you just kind of read over it fast and it just kind of whizzes through here, and your brain kind of gets stuck that they just ceased to live. They just ceased to exist when that happened. But that's not what happened. Do you know how many years Adam lived? 900 something or other. Okay? So he didn't cease to exist. All right? We don't cease to exist. Okay? And yes, they were, I like my friend says, sin stained because they disobeyed God. And they that caused them to be spiritually dead, but they did not cease to exist. And we read in our Bible that before we met Jesus, we were dead in our sins. Well, I was still walking around on the earth. Anybody still walking around on the earth before you knew Jesus? So you are spiritually alive, okay? But there's something that happens, and I'll get to this. But every person is an eternal being. Everybody say, I'm eternal. I'm going to live forever. If I didn't irritate you on the earth, I'll get you in heaven, right? Okay. All right. So I want to help you to understand eternity, all right? So guys, we are living in this temporal body. This is just temporary, okay? And in case you didn't notice, it's getting old. Yeah. My daughter, Joy, called me up. No, this is when she was home. She goes, Mom, look, I've got some gray hair. She's 30-something. I'm like, well, that's because you're getting old, all right? We're getting old, all right? And I remember this was probably just a couple of years ago. I like to go home after church and watch a football game. I don't care who's playing. I have some reasons why I like to watch it. So some days it's just good watching people smash each other. So I'm watching this, So I'm watching this football game. I don't remember who it was, and it was probably halftime or quarter breaks, and they have the interviewers come up, and they're just chit-chatting these guys. They're all previous football players, and they're talking about this one player. and I really don't even remember his name. And he's called a cornerback. And I didn't know what that was, except for that particular day I had somebody watching football with me who told me what that was. I was like, thank you. So a cornerback, they're super fast. They're super fast defensive guys. And the reason why they have to be super fast is because they're going to try to get the other super fast guys on the offense that want to score. But these guys, they're like incredible athletes because not only are they big, but they're fast. And I found out as I get big, I'm not so fast, right? And someone say amen so I don't turn red here, okay? Woo! Praise the Lord, all right? So they're interviewing this guy. It was a pre-recorded, and they're doing the interview with this guy, and he's about to turn 30, and he says he's going to retire. I could still go someplace else with that. So, you know, and I'm thinking, aren't you a little young to be retiring? And he made this statement. He says, those kids that are graduating college and being drafted in, I can't keep up with them. Why? He's getting old. This is a temporary body. And I thought, I'm 65. I can't keep up with those 20-year-olds. But, you know, I just fake it till I make it. And I do certain things just to, such as I buy a ski pass every year. I've actually gone 4 times this year. Okay, why? Because I'm just defying this law of gravity and all this stuff here. So, but anyway, back to the story. Everything on this earth is temporary. Amen? Okay. I remember in 1986, we built our house in York, New Salem. And the first couple of years, I would get phone calls. People would say, hey, do you want to get new replacement windows? And I would laugh in their face. No, I got a new house. And then, you know, this would happen a couple of times. Say, hey, do you need new windows? No, I got a new house. Then I was there 25, 30, 33 years. I don't know what it was. And I was getting those phone calls. And guess what? I needed new windows. Why? Because they're temporary. They're wearing out, okay? And guys, everything is temporary on this earth. Everything. Your car, anybody find out your car is kind of temporary? Yeah. Okay, that wall was temporary. That's why we had to replace that thing, okay? Your problems, by the way, hallelujah, are temporary, but I'm talking about physical things right now. So everything on this earth is temporary. Just kind of getting this. Now, open up to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to give you good scripture. Every scripture is a good scripture, Pastor D. I know. Every scripture is my favorite one, too. I always laugh. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. We're going to start there. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. And he says, for our light, 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For our light and momentary troubles or problems are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Okay, let me really give you the background. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote this. This guy had been beaten with rods. It's like a bat, beating somebody with a bat. Beaten somebody with the bat, and you end up with broken bones. He'd been beaten with rods. He's been shipwrecked. Let me see. He was whipped the 30 lashes or 39 lashes a couple of times. He was shipwrecked. Did I say that? He had gone hungry. All for the gospel. And listen what he said. He calls that light problems. That's crazy. And listen what he says next. Listen. He also calls them momentary. I got news, if you're being beaten, it doesn't feel like momentary, okay? It doesn't feel like that, okay? And when you're hungry, it doesn't feel like that, okay? Okay, so he calls them momentary problems. You know why? Because compared to eternity, that's just a speck, right? Those things we go through life, and this is why we've got to get eternity just stuck in our brain, all right? So compared to eternity, and I don't care if you live to be 100, compared to eternity, woo, okay? Nothing like it, okay? So, yeah, Romero, come on, I need some Pentecostals over here, all right? And you know what he's trying to do is get us to focus not on temporary things, but focus on eternity. And this guy could focus on eternity, and I'll get to it, all right? Hey, you know, even as a pastor of this church, it's really funny. I can get stuck on focusing on the now. You know, and even on my day off, let me see. Day offs are crazy days. You try to fit in a zillion things that is just never going to happen, okay? But you write that list, okay? And I just get so focused on the now that some days I just walk by eternity, okay? And I'll tell you more. So jump to verse 18. Here we go. Verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So he's saying what you can see with your eyes, what you can touch with your hands, guess what? Temporary, 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 all right? And he wants us to focus on eternal. So what's eternal? Heaven, God, the real me, the real spirit man. Those are eternal. And he's saying, I need you to focus on that. I need you to focus on that, not on these temporary things, okay? Okay, now I'm shifting gears. So I was thinking about this first message of the series and our main idea, humans are living in a temporary body waiting to have eternal home. So I want to give you five eternal realities. They're real, but they're about eternity. Okay, if you're taking notes, just write them down. I'll give you a couple of scriptures, all right? And I'm telling you, when you get these, and I was sitting there, I could come up with 10, but we won't get out of here till 3. They won't love you, Pastor D. Okay, we're going with 5, okay? We're going with 5, all right? But you get these 5, and you understand eternity. I'm telling you, it'll change the way you live your life, okay? It'll change how you see life, all right? So number one, if you're taking notes, we were made by God for God. Duh, Pastor D, I'm smarter than the 5th grader. Oh, no. Really in. Okay, so write it down. You are made by God and for God. All righty? God made us. I know that. I was in the preschool class, right? God made us and everything in the world. Okay, I remember that. So, but he made us to have a relationship with him. You are made by God, for God, to have a relationship with him. All righty? You know, it's so funny. God loves us like crazy love. So I was thinking about, I grew up in North Jersey and Teaneck, and we lived on a big street. There are probably 12 houses on this side and that side of the street. And I come from a whole bunch of good Catholics. So a bunch of them had 6 kids back then. If you had 2 kids, you're a Protestant. We knew it. 2 kids. What, are you kidding me? So the one family, and I can't do names because I'm believing someday they're going to hear my messages and they're going, she was talking about me. But this one family, they had 6 kids, and the 2 older ones, they were good boys. And you know what good little Catholic boys are? They're altar boys, okay? And but the second 2, man, it was like every day, and they grabbed my brother. Really, I think my brother grabbed them, my brother Johnny. And they were like, what can we do bad next? None of you have any kids like that, okay? And they were just like we'd had police show up, and they were just stupid stuff, like jumping off a train that was going and throwing the bottles out of it, just stupid stuff. You know, when your brain is not developed when you're about 11th or 23 or whatever, okay? So I kept thinking, God, you must be mad at those boys. You must not like them either. But guys, no, I'm laughing. No, I'm laughing. Listen, God loves us even when we are bad little boys. And there's no bad boys. They're just doing dumb stuff, okay? God loves us regardless of what we do. He loves us. And that was one of our songs, with an everlasting love. Just, he loves you, okay? So turn over to Colossians. There's no first Colossians. Have you ever done, do you all know what Bible Gateway is? It's an app that you can type in and it'll pull up the Bible, okay? And they've got all these different translations. So I'm typing in 1 Colossians, and it's going, no such thing. Type like, yeah, I know it's in there. 1 Colossians. There's no 1 Colossians, baby. It's like, oh, that's right. There's only. So anyway, praise the Lord. Shoo, I'm hot again. Praise God. Colossians 1:15-16. The Son is, and it's talking about Jesus, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. He's referring to when Jesus came and took his body on the earth, all right? Verse 16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on the, where are y'all living right now? Okay, just checking. All right. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. Guys, that includes us. God created us. Everybody say us. I'm telling you, he made us and he made us to have a relationship with him. Some of you need to write that down. He made me to have a relationship with him. And listen, he loves you if you're those bad boys, if you mess up, or you're just pretending you're so perfect and you're not, okay? He created you and he loves you with this crazy everlasting love. Listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I'm going to flop over here, is in the Old Testament. Jeremiah is one of the minor prophets, okay? And listen to what Jeremiah wrote. The Lord appeared to us in the days past. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with an unfailing kindness. Guys, there's scriptures like that in the Old Testament all over the place. And there's scriptures like that all over in the New Testament. But I love this. So listen to the part again. Ready? I've loved you with an everlasting love. So some of you just have to go, God, you love me. Well, God, you know what I did. No. Listen to him. I've loved you. I love you with an everlasting love. Praise God. Now, there are some people that are going to go to that other place, hell, okay? And did you know that it will break God's heart when people go there? And we're going to talk about hell and we're going to talk about heaven, but it'll break God's heart because you know what? He loved them with an everlasting love. So God just loves you, all right? He loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you with an everlasting love. How many of you, probably this happened to you, so you don't have to read. My first child was born, and I thought I understood love. But I'm telling you, it wasn't until they put that baby on my chest, Sherry. Can you imagine her little? She was my littlest baby. Crack me up, she's my biggest kid. Okay, I didn't know love until I held her. And I thought, it was like it was shocking how much love I just came oozing out of me. And I thought, I'd kill for her. Okay, love. It's just crazy. But listen, that's the kind of love that God has for you. Now, I felt love when I met Jack and I married Jack, but that's that mushy romantic thing, okay? Okay, I couldn't compare God like that with me. I was like that, but I could understand the love that God had for me when I had that first baby, and then I had a second baby, Jesse, and I thought, man, I love him like that too. Then I had the third one, Joy. And they told me she was going to be little. She was almost 10 pounds. I was so mad at that midwife. I was like, well, you promised I'd have a little baby. Okay. So then I had, and I thought, I just love her. Then I had the fourth one, which I did not plan on four kids. So it took probably a smidgen of a second to say, I just love her. Okay. Now I'm making fun here, but listen, I love them. And even when my kids messed up later on, it's crazy. You still love them. I had gotten phone calls from the principal's office on several occasions for several of my kids. The pastor's kid. And you know what? I still loved him. Right. Did I want to? Yeah. Okay, they're grounded, all right? But listen, God, you still love him, and God feels that same way towards you. Every human being feels that love. Amen? Okay. So we're talking about number two for eternity reality. Write this one down. You were made to live forever. I know I touched on that, but you were made to live forever. Some of you go, oh, gosh, forever? Okay. Every human being will live forever. Okay. Now, your spirit man, not your body, this thing is going to, praise God, I'm going to be a size 2 someday. I just think. And then some days I'll settle for six, you know, whatever. But this body is not, but this spirit man will live forever. Everybody say, you will live forever. Okay. Now, and I remember the first time I had this, and it shook me. And it's part of my story that I tell about how I received Jesus. But y'all know this. Grew up in North Jersey, I said, and I have a twin brother. And he was hitchhiking, and a drunk driver hit him and killed him. And it shook my world. It ended up to be the path. It turned out good. Anyway, stop. Go back. Pastor D, stay on it. But I remember going home that night and just sobbing, just broken. This is my brother. This is my twin brother. And it just shouldn't have happened. Just shouldn't have happened. And I remember laying in my bed just crying out, God, I need to know, is there really a heaven? God, I need to know where Johnny is. And I had a lot of God, I need to know things going on. But you know what? Johnny was still alive, eternal. Because every human being is eternal, and they will live forever. Now, it took me about a year to figure the rest of the story out. But listen, he will live. And the question we always ask is, where will they live, all right? But every human being is eternal. So turn over to Ecclesiastes. There's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Or just write it down. It's an interesting book in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Everything is appropriate in its own time. But though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so, many cannot see the scope of God's work from beginning to end. You know, I kind of laughed. I thought, you know, I've been reading my Bible for 40 years, and I've probably been teaching the Bible for 30 years at some level or another, and I still don't understand everything about God. Anybody like that? I'm still trying to figure this all out. But that's not what I want to talk about. Let's go back to this part. Ready? The part that says, in the middle part, God has planted what? Eternity where? In the hearts of man. Everybody is a spiritual being that's going to live for eternity. All right? Flip over a couple more pages to chapter 12. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Okay? And I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Life, lovely while it lasts, right, is soon over. Life, as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. How many of you remember being in your 20s? Some of you are in your 20s. You're just going to live forever. Ah! And then I hit my 30s, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to live forever. This is crazy. This is exciting. And then I'm 65, and I'm like, whoa. I don't have much time left. Listen, I have time, but there's more behind me, right? Probably than in front of me. Because this earth, this temporary, it's going to end, all right? It kind of quick. But let's look at the rest of it. The body is put back to the ground where it came from. That means your body's going to decay when you die. But the spirit returns to God who first breathed it. Praise God. Mom and dad made the outside. God put life on the inside, and it's eternal, and it lives forever, okay? I know I'm just saying this over, but because this is the next one. Until you understand that, you're just going to miss things in life, so we don't want to do that. All right, let me give you the next one, number three, eternal reality. God created eternal homes. Better yet, God created two eternal homes. How many of you have more than two homes here? Hope you have one down in Florida. I would love to come visit, okay? But no, getting back. God created two eternal homes. One of them is heaven, and one of them is hell. God created two of them, all right? Now, hell is not the thing I like to talk about, all right? But periodically I have to, and you have to understand this place called hell because it'll change the way you live, all right? So I remember after I met Jesus, I was like my early 20s. And then after I understood heaven is to gain and hell is to shun, when I started understanding that, I kind of went, well, I was really passionate about telling my family who I loved about Jesus. because I wanted them to know Jesus so they'd spend eternity in heaven with me. And I was really young and dumb, and I was just, I wasn't good, okay? You know, the Bible says to pray for doors of utterance to be open that you could share the gospel. By the way, that's a scripture. Well, I was banging them. Forget God, pray open. I was just, you know, banging on people, my relatives, and praise God. But the reason why I did that is because I understood eternity. When you understand eternity and the people that you love, you want them to know about eternity, right? So my family all forgave me, and all of them did meet Jesus. One question mark, and I'll know when I get there, right? Okay. But so there's two eternal homes, all right? There's only two places. Only two places. There's only two addresses. So open up to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to give you the first address. Ready? First address. Ready? Matthew 25, verse 34. I really believe that God wants us to be aware of everybody we rub shoulders with. People that you love, the people that you rub shoulders with that live in your development, that sit with you on the bleachers at a game, that ever be aware of eternity for them, with them, okay? So y'all over at Matthew 25, verse 34. Okay, he's going to talk about heaven. Here we go. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. So he's talking about heaven. But did you get it? God prepared heaven for you. God prepared for you. I like that. All righty. Now, so that's address number one, heaven. Let's look at the second address. Jump down to verse 41. So we're at Matthew 25, verse 41. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, and we'll find out why they're cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons or fallen angels, okay? So we have to understand this. God did not prepare hell for any human beings. Not one person. All those little bad boys that were just doing bad things, okay? He did not prepare hell for human beings. Who did he prepare it for? Satan and the fallen angels, okay? So guys, there's just two places, right? And we have an opportunity to go to one or the other, all right? And people are going to go to one or the other, according to the Bible, all righty? So I'm going to just say this a little bit. So I grew up in the Catholic faith, and they used to talk about purgatory, and that was a middle ground. You weren't in heaven, and you weren't in hell. You were in this waiting place because you didn't have enough good works to cancel out your bad works. It's kind of the Cashman version of what it was, this place called purgatory. So then people would pray for you. And then I thought, well, what happened to all those mean people that nobody prayed for them? Man, they're stuck. A couple years ago, though, I was going to write down the names of the popes. This one pope in the most recent years started researching his Bible. It's nice to read your Bible, right? Sometimes we write things in doctrine that are not in the Bible. And he said, it's not in the Bible. It's purgatory. And the next one, Benedict, what's his name? Yeah. Okay. He took it out of the Catholic catechism. And what they were saying, there is only two places. Even though I grew up thinking there was a middle ground, there's only two places. So all of you Catholics, I didn't know that. I had to Google it, okay? Truth number four, praise Jesus. Here we go. God allows us to choose where we'll spend eternity. God allows us to choose where we'll spend eternity. I know my Grammy lived to 103. I got an aunt, and I was calculating. I think she's 98 right now. I got some people I know that live long, okay? And then I know some people that live long, and this is me, I believe. This is not Bible. I believe God has it, not because of their genes. The reason why they're living long is because they're just mean and ornery. And God wants you to tell them there is eternity. I believe he's keeping them around, okay? And sometimes we get to pray with them. Sometimes you know. I have been in hospital rooms just, jeez. I have that good, my good friend Bevy, she used to work in a geriatric ward, and she'd sneak in right before they'd die. She knew they were dying. She worked this little cute little nursey thing, and she would pray with them, okay? She understood eternity. Okay, anyway, moving on. Okay, so we get to choose where we will spend eternity, all right? Let me show you a real firm, famous verse, John 3:16. Okay, but we're going all the way down to 18. So turn over to John 3:16. Ready? For this is how God loved the world, John 3:16. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. Okay. So when we believe with Jesus, we believe in Jesus that he's the Son of God. Okay. When we believe that, guess what? We're going to go to heaven. We're not going to perish. All right. Verse 17, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world. Oh, this is good. But to save the world through him. Okay. You know what that means? God is not pointing his finger at you to judge you, to shame you, even before you knew Jesus. Well, gosh, I know what you did. You're such a mess. I hate you. I don't love you. He didn't do that. It said he didn't do that. It says he sent Jesus not to judge you, point your fingers, but to save you. So any of you that do that, knock it off. Okay. I smile. Next one. Verse 18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Okay, I'm going to read that last part. Anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing, for not believing, for not believing in God's one and only Son. So what he's really saying is this, is that actually we were born condemned. We were born going to perish. And your good works will not stop you. Keep doing good works. I love good works. If you run out of good works, I'll give you good works. Okay? But the only thing that'll stop you, that you can escape that, is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as Savior. That's it. That's it, right? Okay? So the only way you're going to escape that is believing. So again, the people we rub shoulders with, the people that you love so dearly, okay, they get to choose. And some of them don't know that. And that is why you need to understand eternity, right? Amen? Okay, and listen, that other place is an awful place. Awful, 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 okay? Here's one of my fears, okay? I'm going to get to heaven. That's not my fear. But I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm going to, you know, the people that I rub shoulders with in life down here, they're not going to be there. And I had opportunities to tell them about eternity, and I didn't. That's one of my fears, okay? So my goal is to reach as many people as I can, all right? And that's why I love our vision, gather, grow, and go. The go part is to go to those who are far from God. You should have that eternity thing just, you know. And I thank you for giving to that vision. Thank you for all of you that volunteer, because we are rescuing people from that place to bring them to that place. Amen? And that's when you understand eternity. All right, last one. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, you only have one opportunity. You only have one opportunity to make a choice. Okay, how many of you know what a dress rehearsal is? Okay, dress rehearsal usually is the night before the big show. And everybody gets dressed up, and if they made any boo-boos, they work on that. Because the next day is the show. But guys, we aren't living here on a dress rehearsal. We only have one life. This is not dress rehearsal. Okay? You only have one life. Okay? You only have one big chance. All right? And we never know when we're going to die. What was it, a couple weeks, Toby Bryant passed away? And I don't follow basketball. They're not killing each other like this. Ice hockey. Okay. And I really didn't know who he was, but by the end of the day, you knew who he was. It just blew up the media, and it hurt my heart. Okay. This guy was 41 years old and extravagant. I mean, extraordinary athlete, plus super kind. Everybody just said just the sweetest things about him. But listen, You know what I thought afterwards? He didn't know. He didn't know that was the day. Those where there's a total of 9 people on that helicopter, they didn't know that was the day. Okay? So you don't know, all righty? So every weekend I try to give an altar call. Sometimes I just kind of go, especially when I'm looking, don't look at that clock, okay? Okay, why? Because I want to give people a chance. Because you only get, you don't know, all right? I want to give them a chance, all right? And I don't go up and say, you're going to die and go to hell. That's just not the sweetest way to do it, okay? Okay, I'm just going to skip here and let's pray. Every human being is living in a temporary body, waiting to go to an eternal home. And I'm going to pray two types of prayers. I'm going to pray first for Christians, for those of you that have received Jesus, those of you that already believe in him. And I'm praying for myself on this one too, because you know, sometimes life gets so busy, right? And you forget about this eternity. I'm like, I got to get everything done. Okay? And I've done that. The world just pulls you, all right? So I want to pray. Father, I thank you for all of us that are Christians. Father, I thank you that you would make us more aware of eternity. Father, that you would make us more aware of people and the love that you have for them, that you did not prepare hell for them, but you prepared a place, a beautiful place forever. Father, I pray that you'd open our eyes, that we would understand that we are lights sent out to people. And Father, that it would just burn in our hearts that we don't want anybody to perish, that we want them all to meet Jesus. Father, let it burn in our hearts, burn in our, just remind us every day and people we see. Make us more aware, Father. If you agree with that prayer, just say amen. Make me more aware. Amen. Amen. So now I want to pray for those, if you're here and you've not yet made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And by that, you're already on eternity that way instead of this way. So what I want to ask you is, I'm not going to ask you to join our church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. You can join our church, that's cool, but I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you if you believe in God or you don't believe in God. I'm not asking you if you grew up in a Christian home or you didn't. This is what I want to ask you. Can you remember a day, a time when you made it real with Jesus? You made it personal with Jesus, right? Can you remember that? And if you would say, Pastor D, I've never done that. Well, can I ask you this? Why wait? Because you don't know. Why wait? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Anyone who believes in me, I would get everlasting life. I would give you a place forever with me. Right? So why wait? And the Bible says, you know, I was just chuckling. I was going over my message last night. And I thought, God, you made this so wonderfully simple. I am not smarter than a fifth grader some days. And this gospel is so simple. It says, whoever call on the name of Jesus, he would save. Shoo. So I'm asking if you're here today and you'd like to call on the name of Jesus, then I'm going to pray with you. Matter of fact, we're all going to pray. So why don't you all stand up, okay? If you're praying this for the first time, you pray it out of your heart, okay? And man, miracles happen. For all of you, we're going to pray it out loud, okay? We're going to pray it with them. Say, Father God, I'm a sinner, and you sent Jesus to die for my sins and the sins of the world. And I need Jesus. And Jesus, I receive you into my life right now. I receive you as my Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life. That means he's Lord. Okay, you don't have to say that part. But I am now a child of God. Heaven is my real home. And someday I will be there. Thank you, Jesus, for this great salvation. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that for the first time, shoo, it says all of heaven just goes crazy ballistic, right? Yep. It says there's a miracle that happened inside of you, and you may not look any different, feel any different, but you are different. Eternity, shoo, that way. Praise God. Please come up and tell me. I just want to give you a hug or a high five, and I have a little mini book and a Bible for you. The rest of you, eternity. Amen. Go out and have a wonderful week. Amen.